Peace, peace, everyone. It's your girl, Sequoia Blue, back in here with another episode. Today's special guest is Rella B, and she is impressive. I got to tell you, I was checking out her children's books, and I am impressed that she has books for financial literacy, because when I was in school, you know, I was not good at math. I didn't understand. I didn't even know nothing. I didn't learn nothing. I was being taught geometry and all these other things, in which I'm not saying you shouldn't know it, but I feel like they didn't teach us any life skills, any information. So whereas I'm prepared to know what to do with taxes, how to file it correctly, how to understand how to spend properly so I can have money left and have a budget. And those are those things that I think are essential. And Rella B has books for children that are just trying to get out there and understand what to do at a young age, because these schools are not teaching that. Like, what made you go down that path? Because I know you mentioned you was in a corporate situation and it was in a conventional situation, and you turned unconventional. How did you do that pivot? Right.
I know. I've always wanted to be in this space, and it's been a long time coming. So it wasn't just overnight that I started deciding to do this. I had been writing children's books for about 7 years. But once I was writing them, 5 years in, I actually lost all of them. So I had to rewrite them. And I couldn't remember exactly what some of them were about, but I knew I wanted to have one about financial literacy, because that's something that's not in a lot of children's books, but it's something that you're going to deal with every single day of your life, whether you're a child or an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Because it's right now, it's like, I think there needs to be more policy set in the schools for financial literacy. So for your one of your children's book I looked at, it was called Mama, first one. I'm trying to remember the name of that one.
Mama, I got a dollar.
That's interesting. What made you come up with that one? What was the inspiration behind that one?
My daughter loves money. And it's so funny because she'll get so excited about any denomination of money, whether it's a quarter, a penny, a dollar. And so I was like, you know, you can do a lot of different things with that dollar. Like, you don't just have to keep it if you don't want to. You can buy something with it, or we can save it, or we could spend some of it and save some of it. And I was like, you know, I've never read a children's book like that, so I would like to write one. It's a very, very simple book, but it goes over just the different things that you can do with your money in general. And then it also goes into the concept of debt a little bit. And interest, whether it's interest that's working for you or against you. It's a very, you know, I would say young children appropriate book. I'd say you can read it to like a 2-year-old up until about 7 years old, especially if you're mixing in any sort of financial literacy that you want to teach your child. So I just want to start the conversation with the book, and then it can just go wherever it is that you want after that, whether you're teaching them how to save, how to budget. And then I have like a little financial literacy workbook on my website as well.
Yeah, your website is amazing, by the way. I like how it's put together. It stands out. It pops at me. So that's a good thing.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I tried really hard.
Megan did a good job. Did you do it yourself?
So I did it myself, and then I hated it. Then I had someone else redo it, and I still hated it. And so then I redid it, and finally I got it the way I wanted it. So yeah, it was a joint effort.
That's good. I mean, yeah, you gotta get some help, because sometimes it can be a lot when you're particular and you want a certain way, but it looks good. So out of all your children books, which one is your favorite?
Ooh, that's hard. I think my favorite one is honestly one that hasn't come out yet. I'm just really trying to figure out how to launch it the proper way. It's called Don't Dim My Light. And it's about a little girl who's learning how to stand up for herself and how to use her voice in different situations and just believe in herself. But out of the ones that are out now, I think If Ships Could Talk is one of my favorite ones, because on the surface, it looks like a very simple book. But within the book, you're learning, you know, for little kids, you're learning about shapes and colors. And then for older kids, you can start teaching them about gratitude for their family and diversity as well, because they're all different shapes. They have all different types of families. And some of them have a lot of stuff, and some of them don't have as much stuff. So there's a lot of different lessons. And the moral of the story is basically that comparison is the enemy of joy. And you shouldn't compare your own situation to somebody else's, because you don't really know what's going on over there.
I mean, that's good because a lot of kids right now are getting bullied. I mean, I'm happy I'm not in school right now during these times. I mean, you got social media coming at you, and people probably bullying people on Facebook and stuff. And I mean, I just don't know. And I don't have any children. So it's like, if I had a child, I'll be like nervous about her, you know, just or him being out there because there's just so much going on. But they do need, we need some self-confidence books, especially for children of color, because sometimes, you know, we just don't feel like we fit in, depending on what school we're going to, and just, you know. So I like that. That sounds interesting. And
that's kind of what sparked it.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, I was somebody picked on growing up and stuff. So it's like, you know, but I didn't start reading really, like, taking it seriously until probably 12th grade or so. And that's when my life changed. Like, I think reading books in general is cathartic, and it can change your life. And people don't even know it, but it can definitely change your life. And so I think that's a good thing. We need more authors and stuff, and especially diverse ones. And what
right.
thing I know,
and it's really surprising because you might not see the change.
No, I think there was a lag. I thought I was like, what's up? Wait a minute, there was a lag. Can you hear me?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, there was a lag. I think it's the network, internet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a little lag. I don't know why it's doing that.
Let me check.
Might be the...
I have a good connection.
Can you hear me clearly? No, you're fine. Yes. We'll get through it. We just let the lag through, y'all. Sorry, audience, but y'all can still hear us. It's all good.
Okay.
You still sound
perfect.
Crystal. So
I don't
works.
Know if it's lagging. Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
I made my screen a little bit smaller.
Oh, okay. Okay, perfect. Perfect. And I saw that you dwelled into AI as well. What are you trying to do with AI? Are you using that for your cartoons, your children's books and stuff?
Right, so I actually use AI to conceptualize my characters. And I don't use AI to illustrate, but I will create the scene that I want to illustrate and then send it to the illustrator using like Midjourney because I'm like, this is the angle that I want. This is how I want the kids' facial expression to look. It's really nice because then I can show them what's in my head and then they can draw it in their style. So that's been really great. I also use AI in order to distribute a lot of like different information. I have like a story generator on my website, and then I have an automation that disperses all of my social media and like blogs and stuff like that. I'm just trying to create as much content as possible, but I don't want to have to create all of it. So
man, I'm trying to tell you, I think AI is important for creators because it does help with automation, because sitting there trying to market something all day, create something new is crazy. Use AI, Midjourney, sit there and set it up in Canva and just have a whole bunch of content set up for the month. Just have it all, you know, scheduled out. I mean, I think it's amazing. And I know it's a big conversation right now, AI, because a lot of people are upset about it. But I think it could be used for good.
Right. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because I think it just
depends on how you use it. I don't use it to like write the stories, but to edit your stories, it's great because it has a lot of, you know, different grammatical rules and everything in there.
Man, yeah, because my first book, I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know what I was doing. I was 20 years old. And if I had AI back then, my book would have made way more sales and stuff, you know? And now my new books now in the future are just going to be way more better.
Right.
So that's
it's
it.
So
that's
interesting it, thinking yeah. about children growing up with AI.
Man, I wish I grew with AI. That would have been nice because, I mean, you could do so much. You could learn so much because ChatGPT, you can even learn coding, you know, because I took a coding boot camp, but I was still able to, you can go in there and read it properly and create things that you want easier now, you know.
Right, because now it like helps you create the code and even correct your code that you have. I was never really good at coding. I took a couple like little JavaScript classes and with my little book, but I never got very far.
It's all right. Look, it's not really fun, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's definitely not my passion, but I just wanted to know how to read it and just implement some things. But I didn't want to be an SME in it. I don't want to be a subject matter expert. I just wanted to know how to read it. So what is your
right,
creative
but I mean,
process
that's still amazing
It definitely changed my life.
Yeah, so for my creative process, what was happening before is I was flying a lot because I was a flight attendant. So I had a lot of downtime. And during that time, I would just have conversations with people, different people on the plane, different flight attendants. And I would just start writing, journaling, budgeting. And then I started writing short stories and then kids' stories. And I was like, you know, I would love to publish a children's book. And so I kept just writing. And then what ended up pushing me into just going ahead and self-publishing was I was writing all of these on my work iPad because we're not allowed to have personal electronic devices, and they pushed through some sort of work update and I lost everything. So I was like, okay, that's awesome. Like 5 years of writing down the drain. So let me just go ahead and try to rewrite some of these. So yeah, that's my process. I kind of just talk to people and then I think about a story and then I write it down, or I might just be journaling, thinking about different like experiences that I've gone through. So it's funny because for me, people will ask me certain questions and I'm like, you think that's interesting? Like, people think being a flight attendant is interesting lots of the time, but to me, I'm like, it's not. I'm like, it's pretty boring. So I try to think about things from other people's perspectives, you know?
Well, you know what? I think everybody can relate to something you do, everything you do, you know, because for some people, right, flight attendant is like a journey, you know, like you can go to all these different places and learn about different cultures, especially if you go overseas, and you can even write on that. You know, I don't know if you heard of Air Jerome Dickey, but he passed away. I feel like he passed away from COVID, but he passed away maybe 2-3 years ago. And I say this guy, you know, he was a traveler and he would just go different places and write about Black assassins. And based on where he was at, so he was in Brazil, he was all these different places, and he described the scene, and it was just amazing. And I said, that's interesting. And it's funny because people don't understand, you can pull data and ideas from so many different places, like movies and TV shows, you know, because sometimes people are like, oh, don't watch TV and movies, waste of time. Not for a creative, not for someone that's curious. I've came up with so much content for music and all types of podcasting from movies and TV shows. You'll be surprised. Like, it'll just be a story. You're like, oh, I'm going to twist this way and create this story. I'm going to write this song based on that. Like, I just think that needs to get out there to, you know, because people think TV and stuff is a waste of time. And, you know, you need to, I'm not saying to watch it all day. You got to balance it. But I think it's important for a creative to just see different sides of things, you know?
Definitely. I was watching a video recently that said everything is a remix. So basically, like, anything that you're consuming, you can remix it in some other way that makes it yours and makes it a different type of an original piece that's by you. So now thinking about that, it's changed my perspective, especially when it comes to social media, because you'll see someone do the same thing that someone else did, but they did it a little bit different, a little bit better, you know? So that's, I'm like, just copy what other people are doing, basically, and put your own spin on it.
yes. And I've come up with some new stuff from scratch from all these cool things going on in the world. So I want to talk about, too, that you said you were a single mom and that you were balancing the bills and stuff. What advice do you give somebody, single mom out there, that maybe want to go and write a book but feel like, I can't because of my kid, or I can't, you know, because of money? Like, what can you tell them?
So that's interesting because I feel like they're kind of two different questions. So for being a single mom and handling your finances, I definitely think that if you set a goal in place for your finances, just like work towards that no matter what it is. For me, I was giving birth during the pandemic. So I started wanting to pay my bills by the year. Like, that was my thing. I wanted to have every bill paid a year out, so that I wouldn't have to worry just in case something happened with my job. So I think it's really important to like budget and goal set based off of where you would like to be, whether that's buy a house, be financially secure, have your savings, even having like your children's clothes maybe purchased in advance or something like that, just so you have some sort of safety net. And then as far as writing a book as a single mom or doing anything that you're passionate about, I think it's really important just to set a time and a space for you to do that. Just make sure you have a nice creative space, and then that you have time, whether it's 30 minutes a night when your daughter or your son goes to bed, and make it a priority. Because for me, when I'm flying, I didn't have my daughter. So it was really easy for me to just always focus on that. Now I'm not flying, so it's a lot harder. So I just have to carve out time. I literally put time in my calendar, like, okay, this is what I want to do today, like creative stuff, or I want to record videos, or I want to record content. So with anything, whether it's writing books or, creating pottery, like just set that time and space for yourself.
Wait a minute, you say you create pottery?
No,
That's
not yet. I've done a couple pottery classes, but it's nothing amazing. It's nothing amazing.
Oh wow. Well, you have to share one with me if you do create one, because I would like to do that one day. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it, but I think that's amazing. It could be relaxing and it's great. It's just great art. I mean, that can even be
It
motivational, inspiring for you when you're writing.
Right, I did this one little it's like a I guess a little case. And it's a little mushroom house, and it has like a little door, and then it has a lid on it. But I'm gonna put my keys inside of it. It's burning at the kiln right now. I just painted it, so I don't have it yet. But I love doing creative stuff like that.
Oh, that's amazing. That's the thing. A creative is just a creative. A real creative from the what they call the tomb, the womb to the tomb. You just dabble in different stuff. Like Midjourney is a playground for us, because we're like, yeah, we're already, because we are the real creators from the womb to the tomb. We're not just manufactured creators. We weren't pushed. It just came to us. And I could feel that with your energy. It just came to you, you know.
So
And that's a
speaking
good
of
thing.
Midjourney, is that one of your favorite AI tools?
It is Midjourney and ChatGPT. And I am, I had a guest on here, so awesome. You need to learn modulation and stuff. And I do want to learn that too. So I did, I am learning some NLP, which is natural language processing and modeling and stuff. But I'm not heavy into it right now because I still have my other, I'm still working and stuff. So, but I do think that those are my favorite tools, Midjourney and ChatGPT.
Have you heard anything about Perplexity?
No, what's that one?
So Perplexity is apparently like better than ChatGPT. This is what I've heard by a lot of different people. I have not done it, but I guess it's really good at SEO and it actually cites the references for the information that it's giving you. I haven't gotten to like dabble in it yet, but I hear Perplexity is like where it's at right now.
Oh snap, I'm gonna check that out. Sam's learned something. I just learned something new today, because the only other one I knew was Gemini. So, and
Oh.
that was through Google. You know,
Oh,
so I'm
okay.
like, I'm gonna check that out, because I'm like, I am trying to work on SEO, because that's how people find what you're doing and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So do you go on TikTok and talk about your books? Like, go in there and just say, hey, read some pages.
So I'm working on that. What I was trying to do was bloopers because I thought they were really funny, but I don't think they translate to book sales. So I need to go back and do like more focused content for my books. So far, it's been a lot of research. It hasn't been a lot of action when it comes to TikTok, because TikTok is like a job in itself.
Man, I mean, I'm trying to tell you, like, I mean, I'll be on there and just like, man, all I do is post my podcast clips. I can't, and I have like three accounts, because it's like I got the podcast account, and then I got the Sequoia Blue account, where it's like the music, the books and stuff. Girl, Sequoia Blue account is like nothing really going on, because it's a lot to, I have it in my head what I could do. But I do see some people doing good with children books like yours and other things and stuff. And I'm like, because they're over there talking and stuff. But I'm someone that just, I don't, I'm trying to get to it. But I just like to just stay behind the scenes a little bit and do my podcast. And then I just like to, run ads if I can. But, ads are expensive. But
Right.
when you do run ads, you sell. And I had to, AI helped me with that.
Really?
Yes. So at first I did take an ad class a year ago. So I took what did I take? I took Google Ads class, Facebook ads, and yeah, it was Google and Facebook ads. And that changed my life. So I was able to make sales with my card game, or so I was pushing my card game. So I was making sales with that. Then I said, what if I use ChatGPT to help me with Google ads so I can push the YouTube channels and stuff? Man, when I say it worked. AI was working. I saw Google say, oh, your ad is at 98%. And I said, whoa, before AI, I could never get that way. I would have had to pay somebody, and sometimes they didn't know what they were doing. And then
Right.
it was just a situation. And now it's like my whole life changed with that. So I think if somebody doesn't want to be in the forefront back to back every day, then they have the ads option by budgeting properly. Like you said, is focused on that budgeting, because some people are like, oh, I'm already working two jobs. Does like they say they can't afford the ads. And I get it, because sometimes things are expensive. But even if you just do $2 or just figure out something to keep it running, that's what I learned. Keep it running with whatever amount you can. And as you grow, as you can, just add more to it. And I think that's what could be, you know, another option for people if they don't want to be online talking all day or going back and forth on TikTok. I think that's best because, yeah, that's one option. And I think that'd be good for you too. I think because you're on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Amazon. Yeah. Amazon ads are good too. I do think they're pretty good. They're pricier than Google ads, but I think Amazon ads can get you out there too. And I like, I think that Amazon ads is a good start too, because it gets you those reviews and it more up the algorithm and you move up. So that's good you're on Amazon and stuff. But I always say website is king. Website is king. So, and you know, that's good that you have a website.
Yes, I need to start doing, thought about the Google ads. I'm like, I need to get into Google ads because I do want people to find my podcast, to find my website, and to find my books, and then the YouTube channel. Like, there's so many places that I need people to go. Amazon can't get them everywhere.
I know, right? And you're starting great with podcasting and getting on here and talking to different people. A lot of people don't even know about this software. I mean, Podmatch. So this is a great start. And what would you tell your
Podmatch is powerful.
Yes, Podmatch is powerful. And I'm happy he wrote out to me, because before I was just writing, I was just talking to just by myself. Like I wasn't thinking about guests. I was literally just talking about my daily life and what I thought was going on in the world and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then when he said guest, I said, oh no, how do I know? Do I do guesting? Should I do that? Like, I didn't know that was up my alley, but it just seemed to work naturally. Like I seemed to really meet cool people. So I was like, this works out. And I'm learning stuff from you and others. So.
Yeah, I really enjoy going on their podcast and like meeting different people. I learned so much from different people of different like backgrounds, and it's amazing. Like, it's the best type of networking, I feel like.
Yes, because you can't be out there all the time in the bars and stuff. You know, we tired. We're trying to write our books and stuff. We can't be out there all the time. So this is the next best way.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, what would you tell your 21-year-old self?
Yes. That's hard. I think I would have told her to take more risks and be by yourself. Be by yourself and take more risks.
Man.
Don't be afraid. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, do you feel like people, I'm not going to say before COVID, but do you feel like people are afraid to be alone sometimes?
I do. And then that might just be me, you know, projecting my feelings onto other people. It's very interesting when I find someone that is okay doing things by themselves. And I realized shortly after the pandemic, especially as a newly single mom, I was like, I just want to be places, and I don't want to have to be tied down to, oh, my friend canceled on me, so now I'm not going to go. And so I would go to events by myself. Like, I remember going to an NFL draft party, and it was a pool party, and I went all by myself, like on the strip. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just not going to drink a lot because I'm by myself, and you know, I'm going to see what happens. And people just wanted to be my friend. They're like, you're here by yourself? I was like, yeah, like just checking it out. They're like, that's so cool. Like, they thought it was so cool that I was by myself.
Wow.
And I feel like there's a power in that, like being able to go out and do what you want when you want by yourself, especially as a woman.
Man, I mean, I'm a loner. I'm kind of like a loner extrovert type person. So I can be completely by myself and chill and be happy and have a good old time. But then I can talk to somebody too. But I can go a lot of places alone. I can chill. And you said the strip. I think are you in Vegas?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm in Las Vegas.
I'm in Vegas.
What? We had to meet up. See, we could have been.
Time for a wine chat and book conversation.
Yes.
If you drink wine, or coffee chat. And conversation.
I
saw you was in Vegas because I saw that 702 number, and I said, "Wait, I said she in Vegas?" I said, "I don't know. She could have moved or something." But And so you just moved to Vegas?
No, I just moved down the street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just moved to the house. Right.
That's cool. How do you like it here?
Vegas is so hard to leave. Like, once you're here, it's like, where do I go? Places actually close. I can't go somewhere where they're closed on Sundays. What do I do on a Sunday? Oh, didn't want to go eat.
Oh, no. I think there's some brunch places out here, too. But I don't even... I think there was one I've seen. But yeah, I mean, that's true. It is like not... That's true. And the strip, you don't always want to go to the strip. That's the thing. Right. Are you a strip girl? Do you like going to strip all the time? Or
no, I love just doing like different stuff. Like the Arts District is really nice. I love going to see a show. But other than that, like I like going to the park with my daughter, bringing her to the different little like family events that are out here. The circuses, they have a whole bunch of different stuff.
They really do. Because people, you know, when I was in LA for a few years before I moved here, people were like, oh, I'm going to Vegas. There's nothing to do. I'm like, there's something to do. I'm a creative person. I don't get bored, you know, right. So there is something for me to do. So that's a lie. You know, that's some myth, y'all. So if y'all listening, just know there's something in Vegas besides the Strip. And the Strip is not the only place to go. You know, you got North Las Vegas, you got Henderson, you got different areas. So if you're not a Strip person, you go to Henderson. They got casinos out there, you know, because that's mainly where I go to casino. I go to Henderson, I go to Aliente. And okay. I don't really like going to strip. I don't like a lot of crowds, too crowded. I like to chill, think of my game and plot, you know, when I do play. So, I mean, that's cool you're out here, though. And it's like, to me, Vegas gives a tropical vibe, and it's good for creatives to think. And it's not as expensive as LA, and you got somewhere to park. Because LA, I can never find nowhere to park. I'm running around, trying to get to, you know, trying to network and stuff, and I never had nowhere to park. And it was like, you get exhausted. And at that point, you don't want to go nowhere. And I didn't want to go nowhere in LA at that point. So I was like, you know what? I got rid of my apartment out there that was expensive as heck. And I got the heck to Vegas. My mom moved to Vegas after my stepdad died in 2020. I came right here. You know, I said, I'm just not going to. Because, I mean, I was cool living by myself. But then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going back. I want to eventually, you know, working on my businesses. Work on that and help my mom out, grieve with her, because I was still grieving from what, you know, from my stepdad passing and my grandma passing from COVID. So I was like, yeah, it all worked out, like, for me, because, you know, LA, they're like, oh, you need to be there if you're an entertainer, you know, like us, like authors and singers, and but they understand you can do it anyway. It's right. All about what you can do and how to use the tools, you know, because you can do your own short films now because AI, like we have Sora.ai coming out now, Sora.ai. And some actors are not happy about that now. And I do feel for them, but I do think that it's going to be great for people like you and I. Like, when, if you want to turn your children's book into a film or short story and put it on Tubi, well, I know Tubi got a little bad rep too, but Tubi, you can put it on Tubi and you can get things going, and you don't have to wait for somebody to let you in the door. So I think it's just a double-edged sword, but I do think it's great for independent people that are creative and already pushing the marker. So
definitely, and you have such a chance to be a pioneer, just like an early adopter in all of these different tools and resources. It's really overwhelming.
Yes, there's so much going on. That's why I said I'm never bored, because I'm always doing something. I'm always got something to do. But yeah, man, before we wrap this up, I just want to ask you, what's a saying or quote that you go by?
I have a tattoo that says, mistakes were made and lessons were learned. And I just feel like that is kind of the fabric of life. You just live, you learn, you make a mistake, you learn again, you try not to do it. And it just goes like that. And it resonates with me, because anything that was a mistake doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It was just a lesson. Now, don't do it again.
Don't do it again, though. Once you learn, look, when you know better, you do better. That's Maya Angelou said it. When you know better, you do better. And I said to myself, the stuff I did in my 20s, I was a bonehead. Like you said, 22, you would have been more risk taker. You would have been focused. I should have been that way, too. But I learned, and now, you know, but sometimes I feel like, you ever thought, look, I'm always talking. You ever saw the movie Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher? You know, he always kept trying to, there's a movie with him where he kept trying to go back in time and make things better. So right. If it didn't go right, he'll go back in time trying to make it better. And I'm thinking, like, sometimes things happen the way it was supposed to. Because I look back, and if things would have happened the way I wanted, I don't know if I would have liked it. Now, at this age I'm at now, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't. I don't know if I would like that. So I think sometimes we all gotta start looking back, and it's gonna creep on us sometime. But I think we're where we're supposed to be. I think we're where we're supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Just embrace it. Keep going.
Yes. All right, y'all. That's it. I wanted to thank everybody for rocking with me. Please subscribe and share this episode because that helps us grow and promote beautiful people like Rella B. This is how we can grow and get these artists out here. So I want to thank everybody for rocking with me and Rella B for coming on here on the pod on this beautiful Friday. All right, everybody. Peace. Stay safe out there.